اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم and welcome once again to Radio Islam on Medium 1548. Time now for our Q&A with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas, and inshallah we'll be starting in a few minutes time. Just to remind our listeners, our lines are open 854-1548, our email address onair@radioislam.co.za, and our cell phone number for tonight is 082-356-5988. That number once more, 082-356-5988. We have Mufti Saab on the line now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you, Mufti Saab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah, Mufti Saab, for joining us. We're going into the first question today. We have one question here already on the mobile phone. It says, salams, assalamu alaikum. Mufti Saab, what must I do with interest money that I have?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the interest money, we make dua that this came to you or that person who is asking the question, not by choice. Meaning that you unfortunately got it. Meaning further, that in our time of crime and unrest, and when it is not safe to keep money at home, so generally, a person is forced by the situation outside that he takes the money and put it in the bank. As a result, it earns interest. Now, that interest is what we call wajib ut-tasadduq, meaning that you'll have to dispose of it. It is compulsory to distribute it, to dispense of it. Where you can give it? You can give it to any non-Muslim poor, even Muslim poor, and you can utilize it for the upliftment of an area where you know that the government is not interested in uplifting that area. You can use it for calamity relief, disaster relief. Ulama have also written that you can offset interest with interest. Some ulama of the opinion that you can pay even speeding fines, etc. We are of the opinion that if it is your negligence, your fault, you cannot do that. If it is not your fault, if it is not your negligence, if it is you are not guilty at all of it, then you may utilize it. Otherwise, no. Some ulama also of the opinion you can utilize it for any service that the government is charging you for and in reality giving you no service. So there are various places. However, wherever you can utilize it, there will be no reward according to the Indo-Pak subcontinent ulama. The Arab scholars are of the opinion because you disposed of it, then you are going to get some form of reward. However, you should dispose of it, and the cautious view is not to expect any reward. Ji Maulana.
Ji, Jazakumullah Mufti for that. Going on to the next question now, I think we have a call online. No call, okay, we dropped it. We got another question here in front of us, Mufti Saab. A person says, I would like to know if smoking hookah is halal.
As far as smoking and smoking hookah, on the lighter side of it, someone asked Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that Hazrat, in Jannat, will we be given hookah to smoke? So Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that, yes, but you see, you'll have to get the charcoal from hell, the fire from there. However, that smoking and smoking hookah, all this will come under makruh tahrimi, and it will be detested, abominable detestment, because it is waste of time, waste of money, waste of energy, waste of effort, and also it is injurious to the health. It is harmful to the physique. It leads to many ailments, diseases. But strange this Western world is that they are putting so much of restrictions on smoking, whereas alcohol is a worse disease, and it is such an ailment and disease, but they are putting no restrictions on alcohol, but so much restrictions on smoking. If they only could realize, however they fully realize this also, that alcohol is more detrimental than smoking, but because alcohol is a money spinner and alcohol is good financial gains, that is why they are putting no restrictions on alcohol. So we should push that alcohol should also be banned, like how they are trying to ban smoking. Nevertheless, smoking is an extremely bad habit, should be given up, and we should be cautious not to burn our money away while our neighbors are even starving.
Jazakumullah Mustafa for that. Going on to the next question now. A person says that is it permissible for a male to wax his chest or his feet?
Why he wants to do that, he wants to wax that. If he wants to do that now for only attraction to his for his wife, then there is room for permissibility there. However, if he's doing it for any other purpose, then it is absolutely haram. It will be only allowed if he's going to do it on the request of his wife or for the attraction of his wife and wife alone, no one else.
JazakAllah Mufti for that. Going on to the next question now, just to remind our listeners that our cell phone number for tonight 0823565988. Our lines are open 8541548. We have another question here in front of us, Mufti Sahab. It says, Assalamu alaikum. I am a doctor and I want to ask about if I make a mistake that leads to the death of a patient. Is it considered as killing or is this just a mistake?
There is a book that we have translated and it will be printed soon. It is about the ilaj wa mu'alija ki shari haysiyat. Basically it says that translating that treatment and his diagnosis and cure, the shari position of that. Therein we have discussed this question, very question, about can one sue the doctor, when can one take the doctor to court, and when is the doctor liable, when he is not responsible, and what are the duties of a doctor, and also it has been mentioned there the qualifications of the doctor and the classifications of the doctor. So we have summarized that book. It will soon be coming on the market. But the question on hand, there will have to be an inquiry whether this doctor acted responsibly or not, number one. Whether he knew and acted neglectfully or not. Thirdly, whether it was a involuntarily unintentional slip and mistake or not. Depending on all the investigations in front, the doctor himself will know whether he is liable or not liable, and whether he is responsible or not responsible. And he, the Qazi of the time, can rule a penalty against the doctor for being purposefully neglectful and negligent, or the doctor will even rule against him, make him pay certain things if he is purposefully diagnosing wrong. So there will be some regulations and rules governing doctors and practitioners and surgeons, etc., in an Islamic state. It is no such thing that they will be allowed to do what they want to, how they want to, when they want to. There will be checks and balances, there will be transparency, and also there will be supervision concerning their practices. It won't be a free enterprise or free to do what they want to. So the doctor is liable also for suing if he is negligent intentionally.
JazakAllah Mustafa for that. We have a call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Jesus.
Assalamu alaikum Mufti Sahab. I posing a question on behalf of my father. My father would like to know, is it permissible to depict the voices of the Sahaba?
Okay,
that's my question.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum. Jee, Mufta.
See, the voices of the Sahaba that any person wants to imitate, obviously there's no question of imitation. Because where imitation comes, when you have got an original, then the question of imitation comes. Now, when we do not know the voice of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not know the voice of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, we do not know the original voice of the Anbiya alayhi salam, we do not know the voice of most of the pious personalities that have passed, then there is no question of imitation. So the question of imitation does not even arise. Here, a person says that this is attributed to so-and-so. This is so-and-so. He's saying that this Sahabi is speaking. There is no imitation here or emulation here or taking out a knuckle of, because we do not have a original. So if a person said, for example, every speech which an alim gives, he says, Allah Ta'ala says, and he quotes Quran al-Kareem. And that is not the original voice of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then the person will say that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and he'll read one hadith in Arabic. Now, he is narrating. So this is not a question of emulation. Here is a question of narration. And narration will be permissible. And this is where we will try to accommodate those who are trying to narrate the stories of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala majmain, and pious personalities.
Jazakumullah Muftisar for that. We have another caller online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Ji.
I wanted to know from Muftisar something. You know, on the Qabr where they read salamis?
Ji.
And they read kawalis? They put cassettes and all that. Then what is the position of the person that is sleeping in the next Qabr?
Ji. Jazakumullah for that.
Jazakumullah.
Ji, Muftisar, did you get that?
They're talking of the person in the next Qabr, or not?
Next Qabr, Ji.
Let alone the person in the next Qabr, the person for whom all these activities are done, which are not Islamic, which are not proven in the Shariat, and in fact, all schools of thought say with unanimity that this music and Qawwali is absolutely prohibited, and we should refrain from going to those gatherings where there is music, intermingling of sexes, gender mixing, and also where there is the Fasik and Fujar gathering, where they are transgressing people gathering, where there are evildoers gathering. Now, all schools of thought, and the four out of four imams, illustrious imams, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Idris, Muhammad Idris Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Ahmad Hanbal Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi, they, Malik bin Anas Rahmatullah Alayhi, clearly state that this music here is definitely haram and not allowed in Islam. So, let alone the person next door will be getting disturbed. He will not be getting any punishment, definitely. But there will be gross disturbance where upon whom that is recited, near whose grave that is recited. Because the person, if he is a true saint who is lying there, resting there, he definitely will be disagreeing in totality with those speakers there, with that music that is going around there, and with all the un-Islamic activity that has been orchestrated there, all that the person in the grave will be disturbed by that. The person near that grave, he will not get any punishment, or he will not be affected by what is going on around the other grave. Inshallah.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that. We have a question in front of us here saying that a sister says, can I bleach my eyebrows instead of plucking them? Because I have never done it, nor I want to do it.
Bleach?
Gee.
You understand, Mawlana, what is bleaching eyebrows?
Gee, making it a bit lighter, I think.
Lighter in which way? Color-wise?
That's what the question asked, can I bleach my eyebrows instead of plucking them?
So plucking means pulling.
Gee, yeah.
Now, if plucking and, means pulling and bleaching means pulling, then that is not well. Because we never ever said in our Q&As that you can pull your eyebrows.
Gee.
We have said that you can shape them, not shave them. You can, meaning the existing eyebrows, the hair of the existing eyebrows, you can shape them. We never ever say you can pull them out, or you can pluck them out, or you can shave them, or you can now bleach them. If bleaching means plucking, then it's not permissible. But if bleaching means that you're going to change the color of it, then changing the color, again, only for the pleasure of the husband, only, solely for the pleasure of the husband, that will be, there'll be some room for permissibility. But this, I'm not acquainted with this, if they have to bleach it, how long it lasts. Because they cannot bleach it for the husband and then go out with that same tinted color in the marketplace, because others are going to see and this will be absolutely haram. So, if it is a temporary 2-3 hour bleaching color change for the pleasure of the husband, there is some room for permissibility. But if bleaching, categorically, clearly stating, if bleaching means plucking of the eyebrows, then definitely that is not permissible.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that. Okay, just to remind our listeners, our mobile number for tonight is 082-356-5988. And if you have any other questions, 854-1548, our lines are open. Going on to the next question, Mufsa, a person just phoned in and asked a question that if there is an existing grave, an existing qabr, can you bury the child of the certain person in the grave, in the same grave?
Okay, one person is buried in the grave, right?
Yes, for example, the father is buried in that grave,
yes,
and the son passes away after a little time.
Yes.
Can you bury the son in the father's grave?
See, in certain areas, they have got a rotation system. A rotation system meaning that they bury the person, and after 3-4 years, then they have an opinion that by now the soil should have eaten up the body, and now the bones will be left. So they reutilize that grave. They redig their grave, the existing bones, they gather it, collect it, with all respect, they put it in a plastic bag, and they leave it in that grave, and they put the next deceased there. That is absolutely permissible. Now here, if a father has passed away, and now the people should, first of all, know the soil and how it reacts, and the body. If they feel, oh, the body should have disintegrated by now, then they can redig the grave, collect the bones, put it in the side, in the plastic, and then bury the son there. There's no, absolutely no prohibition as far as the Sharia is concerned. It is permissible.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that. Going on to the next question now, a person says, okay, Mufsa, we have a caller online. Let's take our caller first. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jiapa.
I found a dress which does not belong to me. I paid for one dress and the other one was given to me. And what should I do about it?
Can you just repeat yourself? You bought a dress?
Yes. And I paid for one. And the other one was given just like that in a parcel which does not belong to me.
You know where you bought it?
Yes. I asked them, they say it doesn't belong to them.
Oh? Okay. Now the shop that you
can
purchased,
I put
the shop that you the shop that you purchased the dress, did you take it back to them?
Yes.
Okay. The second dress, okay, you can listen on it, inshallah.
All right, 1 minute. I put the phone down.
So the, Monada, have I got it right? She went to a shop, she purchased one dress, she was given two.
Gee.
And she took one dress back to that place there. They said, no, this dress does not belong to us. So now, when they have said, and she must be pretty certain, that listen, this dress here is from that shop. So she takes the second dress now and give it out in charity. Second dress, give out in charity. In technically speaking, because they have denied ownership of that second dress, she herself can use it. The cautious view will be give it out in charity.
JazakumAllah Mustafa for that. Going on to the next question now. A sister says, Salaamu Alaikum Mustafa. I know that women can't cut their hair, cannot cut their hair, but can we trim it about 5 centimeters or less so that we can get rid of all the split ends so that our hair can grow properly?
Can I answer, Manana?
Jim.
Actually, the academic vicious discussion centered around a question like this, that can a lady cut the hair to get rid of the split ends? Then a prominent mufti stated, yes, only for split ends. Now they took this fatwa of the prominent mufti stating that you can cut to get rid of the split ends, and in turn, they turned that ruling, that legal ruling, upside down, the downside up, and presented it to the public like that prominent mufti is saying you can cut the hair. Whereas that prominent mufti only stated you can cut it to get rid of only the split ends. They took that fatwa from this end to the other end and twisted it, misinterpreted it, misread it, misrepresented it grossly and totally, and created such an academic furor that I think a lot of money was spent on replying and counter-replying to this hair issue. So only for split hand end, if you were to cut it, and that too very, very little, that will be only permissible. Not what people have understood, that ladies can cut the hair, that is not permissible.
JazakumAllah Mufti for that. We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Ji.
I'd like to ask Mufti Sahab, regarding zakat, how do you calculate zakat on stock? Is it on your cost price or market value?
Can you just repeat yourself once more?
Okay, I just want to find out, how do you calculate zakat on stock? Is it on your cost price or on your market value?
Okay.
Right.
JazakumAllah.
They want to know whether we must pay on stock the cost price or
on the market price.
We say that current market related price. Fatawa Darul Deoband is talking about, you see, there are some who say cost price and there are some who are saying selling price. But these are, according to the economists, both seem to be erroneous, that one is on one extreme and one is on the other extreme. But the middle, of course, will be current market-related price. If you have to go and get this article again, what will you purchase? What will you buy this article for? So current market-related value, that will be your zakat calculating figure.
JazakumAllah Mufti for that. Okay, we have another question here in front of us. It says, Assalamu alaikum. Mufti Sahab, I love my husband a lot, but he has a dream to have a second wife. Is it okay if I ask him to remain in his marriage, but have nothing else to do with him?
Dream to have a second wife?
Ji.
Huh?
He has a dream to have a second wife. Ji.
So let him dream then. Not a dream, isn't it?
See, it was a dream.
Okay, that's lighter side. dreaming, they're trying to say, no, he wants a second wife. Otherwise, let him carry your dream, you have second wife, no problem. The sister who's posing the question said, if her husband is serious in taking a second wife, and if she negotiates with him and says what she wants her clauses to be there, what's her clause?
That she wants to stay with him but have nothing else to do with him.
Okay, she wants to stay with him and have nothing else to do with him, then that is a bit vague. She must specify stay with him and have nothing else to do with him. Specify, spell it out to him, and say for make him write it and sign it, and then if he agrees, it's permissible. The person who takes a second wife, that he must understand the rules of the second wife. Everything that is divisible, he has to divide. Everything that is non-divisible, he will not be accountable if he does not divide it equally. For example, time he can divide, so he'll be accountable for that. Affectionate, that he is not divisible. He will not be accountable for that. So in this case here, if the wife negotiates with him and lays out her clauses and specifications, that if you take a second wife, then these clauses I want. We have in the seerah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the other wives giving off their time in favor of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So this wife can negotiate with the husband and put on certain clauses. If he agrees, it is permissible.
Jazakumullah Muftah for that. We have another question here on the screen in front of us. A person says that he got videos and photos of the past. What must he do with it?
Safely destroy them.
Jazakallah Muftah for that. Going on to the next question, I'll just remind our listeners, our mobile number 082-356-5988, and you can phone in 854-1548. Why is it not permissible to wear imitation rings, but it is permissible to wear any other jewelry, example, bracelets, etc.?
That I have stated, quoting off Besti Zewar. Besti Zewar has stated that you can wear imitation jewelry, but not imitation ring. However, that on that text, Hazrat Mufti Razaul Haqsab, Ramat Barakatuhum, of Darulum Zakaria has made some research, and I have requested for that research to come that I can look at it, because I think he has proven that you can use imitation rings also. However, at this moment, I am saying what Besti Zewar is saying. When the research of Hazrat Mufti Razaul Haq Sahab, Ramat Barakatuhum, comes in front of me, then I can make a review of the ruling. Mm-hmm. However, the logic at the moment, as I understand from Besti Zewar, will be that if the ring is seen on a lady which is not original, for example, it is gold, then the onlooker will know, the female onlooker will know that this lady is married. And a imitation ring, which is not allowed, meaning that if it was allowed, you could say that this person here is not married, and the gold ring itself will say this person is married. So that's why I see the logic there.
Jazakumullah Muftah for that. We have another question here. Is it permissible for ladies to wear sterling silver rings?
Sterling silver.
Gee.
As I stated, that this depends on the research of Hazrat Mufti Razaul Haq Sahab. So at the moment, I'm stating what Besti Zewar is saying, that besides gold, nothing else.
Jazakumullah Muftah for that. We have another question here. A caller says that a caller made khatam of the Quran. Now she wants to make the sajdas of the Quran. So she wants to know how many sajdas are there in the Quran.
14 sajdas. The method will be very simple now. Obviously, you'll have to be in the state of wuzu. You can be standing or you can be sitting. that you will say Allahu Akbar, go into Sijda and recite the Tasbihat and come back again. That is all. So you will make those 14. However, this method is not a very healthy and good method, because when the Sijda Tilawat is read, it means it has become wajib on the reciter to perform that Sijda. So the ethical thing to do in the rules of mannerism will be to perform that Sijda which has become wajib immediately. And that is not difficult if you are following the mannerisms of recitation of Quran al-Kareem. That means you are sitting down, you facing Qibla, obviously in wuzu, and you have got the Quran on the rihal, and you are reading Quran al-Kareem. When that ayat comes, you just have to move the Quran away on the rihal, make the sijda, and carry on recitation of Quran al-Kareem. But if you leave it right till the end, like how the person has left it now, and then make the 14 sijdas, what happens if a person passes away and has got the sijda tilawat qaza? So that will not be very good.
Jazakumullah Mustafa. That we have another question here in front of us. Person says this: What does the hadith black seed oil has a cure for every disease except death mean?
It means exactly what that what the hadith is saying, meaning that Alhamdulillah, for whatever purpose a person utilizes it, then inshallah that person will find shifa in it. That person will find shifa in whatever the person utilizes it. However, understand something, that in all these ahadiths which speak in this style and in this manner, it depends on the yaqeen, the faith, confidence of the person. And it relies mostly on the yaqeen, faith, confidence of the person. For example, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that honey is a cure, and when one person came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that his brother is having a running tummy, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him honey. That person who came back after a while, they said, we have given him honey, and now he is going more to toilet. So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give him honey. That person came back after giving honey, said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the situation has gone worse. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that honey is the cure. The tummy is deceiving. The honey cannot be deceiving. Give him more. So the person went and gave him more, and then it settled. So what we hear, we learn that just like honey, that black seed is also in the same situation. When a person has got full yaqeen, full faith, full confidence that Allah is the giver of cure and remover of ailment, then a person utilizing it, inshallah, with that faith, firm faith, for anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give cure. However, death, there is no cure for death. When the person's time is up, irrespective of where the person is, death will take hold.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that. We have another question here. Mufsa, we just had a call on the phone in now and saying that she knows about 15 sajdas in the Quran. Now, is this according to Imam Shafi rahimahumullah or not?
Imam Shafi rahimahullah, yes, 15. Abu Hanifa
rahimahullah,
14.
Jazakumullah Mufsa for that. Going on to the next question now. A lady says, Assalamu alaikum Mufsa, is it permissible for a lady to have her legs, including her thighs and arms, waxed by a female beautician?
See, this question here about waxing and will depend on the satr and the aura. And the aura of the female, meaning the satr of the female, has to be safeguarded and protected from, let alone males, also from females. The ruling will go for the protection, meaning protection, I'm using this word protection, meaning covering. That just as the female will not show her face, for example, because that is where the beauty lies, the face to the male stranger, she will also, according to some ulama stating, that she will not show her face to irreligious, non-believing females also. So from that light we can see that the aura of the female has to be safeguarded all the time. The ties definitely out of the question. No female should allow any female even to look at that, even if it means for beautification. Below the knees, there'll be some room for permissibility. On the arms, there is some room for permissibility.
JazakAllah Mustafa for that. We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I have two questions for Mufti Sahab. I'll pose both the questions and I'll listen off air. Okay, the first question, are the proceeds from selling music CDs and cassettes halal or haram? And the second question, are the proceeds from selling TVs and radios halal or haram? JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum.
Jim Mufti Sahab.
See, both these questions that some ulama of the opinion that you are selling something. When you are selling something, that is not that is a shay, that is something, meaning in Arabic it is ma'al muqawim. And to sell ma'al muqawim, when you sell it, it is permissible, the earning is permissible. That is why there are some ulama who are saying that when you sell something, then when it is not haram, for example, sale of pig is categorically haram in the Quran al-Karim. Alcohol, categorically haram in the Quran al-Karim. Now, if you're selling something which has got a dual purpose, or which can have a dual purpose, then the money from that will be permissible. For example, a knife has got dual purpose. Radio, dual purpose. As far as the television is concerned, that it has got dual purposes also. And as far as a CD that is re-recordable, that has also got dual purposes. And the music CD, definitely one should abstain from buying, selling, transacting in those things.
JazakAllah Mufti for that. Just to remind our listeners, our mobile number for tonight is 0823565988. Going on to the next question now, Mufti Sahab. A person says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. A person has a problem retaining their wudu due to an ongoing problem of wind being passed very often. For example, a person makes wudu but it breaks halfway during his salah or whilst reading the Quran. This problem has been ongoing for years. Does wudu have to be performed for each salah period or not?
There is a book of ours, it's called Talimuddin. It's accessible on our website, alislam.co.za. And if you don't get that book, you get another book from our website, Taharat Made Easy, where I have described in detail what we call mazur, the person who's incapacitated. Now, this person who has posed the question, he should go to his local imam, local maulana who is leading his salah, because the local maulana is going to ask him many questions. Questions the local alim is going to ask him, that your wuzu, how often it breaks? For how long can you keep wuzu? Does it break every 5 minutes, 4 minutes? After you make wuzu, does it break after 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour? After you make wuzu, then can you make a 4-rakat salah or not? And this condition of yours, is it for 5 continuous salats or not? Or is it only from Zohr to Asr? Or is it only after you have eaten or not? Is it while you're fasting or when you are not fasting? So the local Maulana is going to to ask all these questions. Why? To determine whether the questioner is an incapacitated person. Basically, he's going to try to find out whether the person can hold the wuzu for more or equal to 4 minutes. That's the amount of time it will take you to make the 4 rakats of salat after wuzu. And if a person cannot do so and his wuzu is repeatedly, constantly breaking without any interval in between, then that person will be classified as mazur. Then that person can make wuzu and make the salat and also other ibadat attached to it. Otherwise, that person will not be classified as a mazur, will have to make for every ibadat the wuzu again.
Jazakumullah Muftisa for that. Going on to the next question now. A person says, can you make only 2 sunnah before the fard, the 4 fard of Isha Salah, or must you make 4 sunnah?
According to some scholars, if you are running short of time, if you are running short of time and you entered the masjid before Isha, and if you are going to make 4 rakats of sunnat, ghair waqidah, then you are going to miss the takbira, tahrima or takbira ula, then you should make 2 rakats with the intention of sunnat ghair waqidah. And they say that inshallah you will be rewarded for making your sunnat before the Isha.
Jazakumullah Muftisab for that. One last question. A person says, Assalamu alaikum Muftisab, please advise if it is permissible to cut ties with an uncle who lies and does not fulfill his duty as a husband to his first wife.
First of all, to cut ties and to severe ties and to break off relationship is extremely detested action. And this does not solve any problems. In fact, it worsens the disagreement, it worsens the rift, it makes the rift wider. You should maintain your ties, make dua for the person, visit the person often, speak to him nicely with wisdom, insight, foresight, and by interaction, give him the da'wah of Islam properly, meaning explain to him the beauty of Islam, talk to him, win him over. By confrontation, no solution is reached generally. By fighting, no solution we come across. By constant attacking people, we get no proper agreement. In fact, that is a formula for disunity, is to severe ties, to break ties. And the ahadiths concerning the auspicious nights when people are forgiven, for example, Laylatul Qadr, Shabe Barat, on the nights of Eid. Now, on these nights, when we study the hadiths of all those who are forgiven, then generally we come across those hadiths talking about 6 types of people who are not forgiven. And one of those six are those who break off relationships, meaning severe relationships, who want to break off family ties. And in this age, we should make every effort to maintain, upkeep family ties for spiritual progress, harmony, cooperation. And by you breaking the family tie, you are not going to solve the treatment that he is giving to his first wife. In fact, by you maintaining ties, keep the door open for discussion and for discourse and deliberation, you'll be, inshallah, making inroads to his heart and brains. Otherwise, if you just cut off relationship, he will carry on ill-treating or breaking his promises to his first wife, and you will have no say in the matter. Remember, if you want to have a say, you have to be in the parameters of the say. Simply speaking, if you want to be part of a boxing match, you have to be in the ring, not outside the ring. So if you want to communicate with that person, do not break any family ties. First of all, it is earning the displeasure of Allah. du'as are not accepted, and unfortunately calamities of Allah come upon the nation that promotes breaking of family ties.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. Before we end of our program for today, some nasiha from your side, Muftisab.
Tonight, alhamdulillah, what we should discuss about is every method we should try to utilize for the promotion of Islam. Every permissible method that is available for us, we should try to use to promote Islam, to preach Islam, to talk about Islam, and to uplift the beautiful teachings of Islam. And minimum we should try is those who are working for us, our maids, those, if we are running factories, businesses, we should talk to the staff. And also those who are running huge, huge concerns where they are over 30, 40, 50 personnel who have not accepted Islam, they, you have to work on them by inviting some alim on your side that give them some da'wah of Islam, talk to them about Islam. We can learn, they can learn. And we have never thought of this in what I'm saying, that our staff, when we have got huge numbers who are not Muslims, we should worry about them. We should worry where they are staying, how they're staying, and we should also worry that how they're traveling, is it safe for them? If you want to win any person over, if you want to win your enemy over, that you ask him how is he, then how is his children. If his mother was not well, your enemy I'm talking about, not your friend, your enemy, and his mother was not well, and you pick up the phone and ask him that, listen, I know we have got certain disagreement, but your mother was not well, how is she? Automatically, if he hated you 100%, after that phone call, 50% down already. So our staff, our people around us, when we start worrying about them, their lives and their activities, automatically they will soften down, and when we present the beauty of Islam, then they will start considering it carefully. It is our responsibility in the countries where we are minorities to present the beauty of Islam, the peaceful nature of Islam, and all the good qualities of Islam, and the entire Islam is good. We should make dua that Allah accepts.
JazakAllah Muftisab for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, respected listeners, that brings us to the end of our Q&A for today with Mufti Afzal Hussein Ilyas. And inshallah, next week he'll be back, inshallah. JazakAllah to Muftisab once again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a healthy and long life, inshallah.